Okay, here we go. Something. We came to hijack something, your brain.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome once again. It is time for another episode of the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
And we are back yet again for another fun-filled adventure in podcast land.
What's up?
Not a mas, sir. How you rolling?
Doing all right.
So I have an interesting thing that happened to me in the last 2 weeks.
All right.
I was floundering around on the Twitter, and I have my little love of silly independent video games, and one of the indie developers that I follow on the Twitter had retweeted somebody saying, hey, I am trying to get on the Humble Bundle store, but they need voiceover for my trailer, and I don't know anybody who does voiceover, help. And he linked this script. I was doing vinyl that day, reallyshameless.com, and...
What was that address again?
Oh, I'm sorry. I said I was doing vinyl that day. reallyshameless.com.
Ah.
And I read this dude's script, and it was short. It was like literally 5 minutes. I sent him just because I have a microphone and a soundboard on my desk for some reason. And I sent it to him. He was like, that was quick, and this doesn't suck. Let me call you on Skype. So, for those who want to hear it, you can go to... itch.io and look up Station Generator. It's a map generator for sci-fi games, for specifically, like, if you're doing a sci-fi game that needs a space station, this guy made a piece of software that does it for you. Really modifiable, really, like, crazy. I have a couple keys. Maybe next episode we'll figure out a way to give one away for free. We'll give him some promotion. But
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, he's over on itch.io, and he's trying to get on the Steam store. I know he's on the Humble Bundle store as soon as the trailer goes live. So, and you'll hear me talking about it.
Actually, I did watch the trailer. I watched it on mute, of course, because I hear you all the time. But right. I did watch the trailer. The software is very cool. And we were just talking before we hit the record button on this. Even if you don't do a whole lot of, like, sci-fi tabletop role-playing, it looks like it could be something for you 40K people out there, too, for, like, customizable Space Hulk kind of maps, because yeah. I know that's coming out on the Steam store soon, and I know they used to did have the tabletop version. I think that's still out there to be found, but that was the first thing that hit my mind. I was like, customizable Space Hulk!
Yeah, my first thought looking at it, because there's a big thing in the trailer about ring stations, I was like, oh, Babylon's.
Oh, yes.
Babylon's 1 through 4. Yay. There's no maps of those. There probably is. Like, there's probably hardcore nerds with, like, all the Babylon maps, but...
Well, there can be now.
Yes. Ring stations. I wonder if... is anything interesting in your world has come up?
Working on the script for the next radio drama for our fine Patreon page.
Yes.
If you don't know what I'm talking about, you should find out over at patreon.com/somethingsomethingcast. We offer basically it's exclusive content. We've got some radio drama going on. We've got some movie reviews going on that you can only get by being a patron of our Patreon. Help support the show. We want to do bigger shows, better shows, have bigger, better guests, go to different places so we can give you guys bigger, better shows. And a little help along the way would be much appreciated in allowing us to do that. So,
yep. And at the time of this recording, I believe from here, from the time which you guys are listening to this, next week is episode 3 of our Space Adventure Stories to Amaze.
Ooh, is it really?
I believe so, because, yeah, that makes sense. I'm doing the math in my head because the time we're recording this, tomorrow is a new episode. Then next week is a new other thing. Then the week after that is this episode. And then the following week is the next space episode.
Okay. Very cool.
Ha.
I thought we were getting confused again. I was like, okay.
No, I'm actually, I started calendaring everything.
Oh, there you go.
I have to.
And as long as you're calendaring thing, you have to take a look because Anime Fan Fest, where we went and met the amazing Bonnie and Xander of the Library Bards in person, has their dates set for April of next year already. So I already talked to Bonnie, and she's going to let us know if they get asked back for that so we can go hang out and see them in person again, because that would be totally awesome.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. And they treated us very nicely, so it'd be nice to go and, you know, even just to go check it out again.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Has our special guest returned?
Special guest.
Yes, indeed. I have a couple of extra special guests with me, so don't mind the meowing you might hear.
Aw, babies. Can we just do Can we just do a show where we talk to kittens?
Yes, we can do that. I'm sure they would be very excited.
Yay.
As long as I was also feeding them.
So, Rob, why don't you introduce our guest, a friend of the show. We haven't heard from her since she traveled down the coast.
Absolutely. She has been on the show before. Long-time listeners of the show may recognize the voice. We have the wonderful, the beautiful, the talented Miss Dawn Furcheck with us today from Last Wordy. And you are currently on Head Over Feels doing Supernatural Blog. Is that correct?
Doing Supernatural recaps and occasional special articles on various things about the show, and that also created our new Twitter feed called Pie and Shotguns.
So very nice.
Follow us on Twitter and find me on Head Over Feels for the snarkiest, most and the snarkiest Supernatural updates, probably with the most cursing.
No.
So what's the Twitter name? What's the actual name so people can go follow it?
Pie and Shotguns.
There you go. And, well, the last time we had Dawn on, was it, let me see, I guess it was the Doctor Who episode. No?
It may have been the horror books.
Oh, it was horror books. That's right.
I forgive you because you don't even listen to your own podcast.
No, and that, and dude, that was three studios ago.
It really was.
So, we came up with, well, actually this episode came in from one of our friends.
It did.
From a longtime friend and fan of mine. And, I guess moving on to also friend and fan of the show, Mr. Bill Stagg, came up with this, messaged us about an episode where we choose our own zombie team.
Yes, there's a lot of this that goes around on Facebook. You know, pick the first letter of your first name, first letter of last name, day you were born, and this is your zombie survival team kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, we took the randomness out of it, and we said, okay, so what if it was us and four other people, like James and four other people, Rob and four other people? So we decided to turn this into almost like a Mythbusters-esque kind of contest, where we each came up with our own five-person team, us and four others, and we needed a judge to determine whose team was put together better, whose team had the better survivability. We couldn't think of anybody better for the job than Dawn.
Correct.
Dawn was more than happy to jump on board with this. So here we are today. We did have some parameters that we needed to lay down.
Yeah, because
otherwise it would have gotten just silly.
It would have just been silly very quickly. I believe the first thing I said was like, "Oh, okay, so so it can't just be like Voltron, you know?"
Right.
Because that would just be lame.
Good choice, though it might be.
Yes, exactly. So I believe we have one from movies, one from books, one from television, and sort of a catch-all, anything-goes crazy character.
Okay.
Correct. And in addition to all that, we can only pick one that is supernatural, mystical, outside the bounds of time and space kind of thing, and one that is superhuman, augmented, kind of individual. Now, the catch is going to come from the free-for-all.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when we first explained this, I had assumed that Free For All was just that. It was outside all of these boundaries. So if we did happen to double up on the one augmented or one supernatural thing, that was okay because, as the name implies, Free For All. James did not follow this line of reasoning, and he made his free-for-all follow all of the other patterns as well.
Yeah, the example we gave when we were even just discussing this and discussing where our difference is, the free-for-all where you conceivably could have picked Galactus for your free-for-all, I generally went with somebody much lesser Galactus-y.
Yeah, well, to be honest, Galactus, terrible choice.
Horrible choice.
Unless all the zombies were on another planet that were headed to this planet and we needed to head them off before they got here. Otherwise, Galactus, really bad choice for your zombie survival team.
Yeah, I feel that if in surviving zombies your planet gets eaten, you still have not survived zombies.
Yes, yes.
You've just
succumbed. Not surviving means not surviving the zombies either.
Right. So we'll see how it goes.
Let me ask a clarification question.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about things like augmented, so obviously that includes things like the Terminator, Iron Man, any superheroes.
Yes.
Correct? Yes.
But what about a character like River Tam? Does she count as augmented?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Because they have... She has been altered and she is not supernatural... outside the boundaries of time and space, like that kind of stuff, supernatural outside the boundaries. That's where you put stuff like, you know, Doctor Who and stuff like that. The augmented would be, yeah, anything from Tony Stark to Superman to River Tam, where somebody has gone in and meddled with things to make somebody bigger, better, stronger, faster.
Okay.
So on that note, why don't we start with television?
Okay.
Because I think that's a good start since, my television vote was River Tam.
I am so good at your game.
Okay. And we had this conversation where I said my team is fucking badass awesome, but the minute you say the first person on your team, I'm going to look at my team and go, fuck. I am terrible.
Well,
but no, go ahead. So give us your rationale as to why you picked River Tam.
Well, I feel that my team is I went for a sort of well-rounded team, and I wanted somebody who was, she's basically my wild card, but she's also fairly kick-ass, unendingly kick-ass, faster than the human eye. She has been augmented. Yeah, she goes a little batshit insane from time to time, but I felt that she is the... She's going to be the character that, in our darkest hour, shines through. And all of my other people, persons and others, have failed. River is going to stand upon the pile of zombies as the survivor. So she was my television pick, obviously, from Firefly. So, yeah, that was... I knew Dawn would appreciate it. I'm not playing to the judges, but it didn't hurt.
I see how you are.
Okay. Well, to balance the other side of that, I also was not specifically playing to the judges, but
Dean.
My TV choice was Dr. John Watson from BBC Sherlock.
Ah. Nice.
Because he's military, because he works well under pressure, because he is not afraid to grab a tire iron and get into a scrap himself, and because he's a fucking doctor. So, God forbid somebody gets hurt, injured, whatever, he will be able to patch us up. And since he's a military doctor, he's also well at working with what's around and not necessarily needing an operating theater around him in order to do his job.
I'm interested you didn't take Sherlock there, but I can understand why you didn't.
There were three different TV people that I wanted to use for TV, but yeah. I couldn't find that combination of badass and smart and unafraid and doctor skills in any of the other stuff that I immediately came to mind. So I had to bypass on Sherlock and go with Watson.
Watson's a good one.
I was originally thinking Hawkeye Pierce, but I don't see him as as much of a, you know, give me that stick, I'm going to go bash some skulls, as Watson is.
And now here,
I'm not sure that Sherlock would really be of much initial use. I think Sherlock would waste a lot of time trying to find any other plausible explanation than zombies until he finally, you know, broke it down to that, you know, whatever's left, however implausible, is the truth.
Right.
So I feel like as much as I adore my Sherlock, there's that possibility of, like, you are wasting time and our neighbor's brains have just gotten eaten. So,
and I will say what I'm liking already is that I have I have my wild card and we have your sort of all around strategist guy there.
Yeah, he's the medic.
He's the medic. I think as we go forward, we're going to see what our full rounded team is. I like that both of our teams are now, okay, we got a big hitter out of the way and we got a medic out of the way.
Right.
I'm interested in seeing where we go from here.
So just based on what we've done so far for TV.
Dawn,
what are your thoughts on which one of those two is your favorite pick?
I am going to go with Watson.
Boo.
James. The ability to control River, I think, would be a concern. You'd almost have to have somebody else who sort of knows the magic word to pull her back when necessary. She's a terrific character. I adore her. She's brilliantly smart, but she does have that berserker button. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say River was my last pick, and that's because by the end of it, I had augmented left.
Okay.
And I had television left, and I was like, oh, and I don't want to hit, like, I was also trying to be fair to the worlds we were dealing with. Like, if I picked an X-Men, I think that fits much more in, like, a free-for-all or even a movie character. I didn't think they would fit as well as a TV character, and then there was other characters, so it's like, oh, they're more of a literary character. I think Watson fits definitely as a television character because it's that one.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, River. I understand why you pick Watson on this one.
Yeah, I have to go with Watson for exactly the reasons that Rob mentioned. Mm. You know, this is somebody who's not afraid to get down and dirty. He's absolutely not afraid to kick ass, and he's highly capable of kicking a lot of ass. But most importantly, this is somebody who knows how to do field surgery. You know, no operating room, no special equipment. He can do field surgery, and that's going to be an unbelievable advantage in a zombie apocalypse.
Boom.
I'll take my 1-0 till we see the full field.
All right, so we've got TV out of the way. let's go to literature.
All right, go for it. I started the first one, you hit with this one.
Okay. For each one of these, I have the first thing that came to mind, and then as I thought about it more, I have a final selection on it. So this was where I put my supernatural-ish, mystical, outside the boundaries of time and space kind of thought into literature.
Oh, we're so picked the same one. We so picked the same one. It's coming.
My first blush went to Raistlin from Dragonlance.
Yes.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Because he's badass. The reason I didn't is, like, thinking logistically and realistically more and more about this. There's spell components that are needed in the Dragonlance universe, and you don't know how often or how rare they might be in a zombie apocalypse kind of world. So I kind of flipped the script and went a little bit more young adultish than that, and I went with The Boy Who Lived, Mr. Harry Potter. Because nowhere in the Harry Potter universe, except for potions, which he wasn't an ace at, did it mention anything about needing spell components for any of their spells. And they're also can be done silently. So if you need to be quiet because you're hiding from zombies and you don't need to go out and start wiggling fingers and screaming cantrips to the heavens, Mr. Potter can get the job done.
Very, very good choice. I can understand that. However, there is also herbology. But you're right. There's a lot of magic in that world that doesn't require anything other than concentration and pronouncing things correctly. So nice option. If the wand gets busted, though, you're fucked.
True.
This is true.
In my first thought process, I almost picked from the book Snow Crash, Raven, who is this mean motherfucker. He has a tattoo on his forehead that says poor impulse control. He carries around a sword that's one molecule thin. He's just mm-hmm. this... you know who I'm talking about, Dawn?
Yes, I do.
Ah, fantastic. He's a wonderful character. I didn't pick him because he's another villainous sort of wild card character. I also went with Harry Potter.
Oh, that's nice.
And I swear to God, I sat there and I was looking. I was like, I was like, I want a mage. I want somebody who's going to have some extra super motherfuckery skills. And I didn't want to choose the doctor for my supernatural sort of character. And I saw lists that had Raistlin. I was like, I can't use Raistlin. He's going to side with the zombies at the end of it. Raistlin is gonna choose to go the Lord Soth route and try to control them versus. But I did pick Potter as well. I was like, he's one of the best mages ever. It's either him or Quentin, and Quentin's a douche from The Magicians.
He is a dick, yeah.
And I love Magicians.
I never put my mind that Raistlin would side with the zombies. I just put my mind that Raistlin would at some point in time come to the realization that he didn't really need any of the rest of us. So if he lost one or two along the way,
yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would trip us.
Yes.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Potter can apparate. Potter can accio stuff that you might need that can't get to without having to go through the zombie horde. So
yep.
I applaud your choice, Mr. Hatton.
I would say yours is pretty good, too. Dawn, which do you like better?
Gee, it's such a difficult choice. No, I think that both of you are absolutely went a good way with that. As I said, my primary concern with Harry would be the fact that if the wand gets broken, you're in trouble. He becomes virtually useless.
That is
a concern during a zombie apocalypse, is because now he's dead weight.
I will say this in both of our defenses,
mm-hmm.
that if his wand gets broken, he can still get to platform 9 3/4. He can still get back to Diagon Alley, and he can get another wand, because in the Deathly Hallows book, they kind of intimated that you can use another magician's wand. It's just never going to be as good as your wand is.
Very true.
Yeah, I do believe so there would be a fetch quest.
Yes, he would still be able to do magic. It just might not be as powerful or as strong as if he used his wand.
Now, at the same time, I would say that Harry Potter is also your ranged fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing in the back. He's standing on the ballast of whatever our home base is.
He's one of them.
Yeah, firing off from up top.
I am disappointed in both of you, though, because the greatest wizard of that age is actually not Harry, it's Hermione. She was repeatedly called the greatest witch of her age by the elders, and she would arguably be, for a spellcaster, she would arguably be the better choice. Harry's superpowers, if you will, were very specific to the battle with Voldemort, whereas Hermione knew everything.
If I may, on this one,
mm-hmm.
I would say that there's an argument to be had that Hermione wouldn't want to kill zombies out of fear that it is killing the humanity of the people.
You know what? I can see that. Okay.
Boom.
I can see that.
I love these discussions.
You're absolutely right. It wouldn't be long before there was a zombie spew, and then that would really be problematic.
Standing on the top of an Effinger Sporting Goods, just throwing socks at zombies, trying to free them all.
Pretty much, yes.
Be free!
Fantastic. I applaud your choice, sir.
Good stuff. That's funny that out of all of the categories that we have and all of the multitudes of characters in existence, that was the one. You said, oh, we're probably going to overcross someone. And I'm like, there's not a chance, dude. No way. Second one in, we're crossing over. Excellent.
I think we're safe on movies and free-for-all.
I'm probably certain we are.
Yeah. So why don't we jump to movies?
Yep. Why don't you hit us up on movies there, Hatton?
All right. So movies was my first pick. Movies was the one that I said... I want a character who's going to be the greatest fighter that I could get. But I didn't want just like a scrapper. I didn't want, I obviously wanted somebody who had melee skills because eventually ammos disappear. I fought with like Ash. I fought with people with various weaponry, and I decided, nope, we're going to stick with swords. Who's the greatest sword fighter of all time? And I went through lists, and I was like, oh, there's Maximus, and there's Tom Cruise from that samurai movie, and there's characters from that Kung Fu Drive-In would be a love, and decided...
I'm laughing because I'm suddenly seeing the road that you're going down, and I'm hoping you end up where I'm thinking you did.
Oh, well, I went with, funny enough, I was surprised that this character was the greatest sword fighter. I have a feeling I know where you went now, but I went Beatrix Kiddo from Kill Bill.
Okay.
You saw, all you need to see is her versus the crazy 88, and you see how she would be in a zombie overrun, them coming from all sides. And she's going to hold her own because those were fucking ninjas and she didn't get hit. Zombies, she got nothing on them. She'll be fine. So I went Beatrix Kiddo, Kill Bill as my front of line Michonne, kill the Walking Dead motherfucker.
For some reason, I thought you were going to go Connor McLeod.
I know you
started
thought
talking
I...
about movies and sword fighting and stuff.
I knew you did. Because Kurgan would have been a good one for that.
Yes, true.
Sure. I did not go sword fighter.
Okay.
I did go with, yet again, another ranged individual. My first blush on this, again, I was thinking Superman. Something, you know, uber-powered, something not only strong, but with multiple range skills. The ability to fly doesn't suck. When, you know, we need to get something that we might not be able to get to because of waves of zombies. But then I started thinking, I don't know if it's actually ever been said that he doesn't need to, but eventually he might need to eat. And that's one more person worth of rations that we would need to divide up. So I ended up going with the Vision from the Avengers.
Interesting. All right.
Because he's an android, he doesn't need to eat. He's got that brain laser thing in his head. He's super strong. And since he's an android, the zombies probably don't even smell him as being alive. So he could probably just wade through zombies to get the shit that we need if we're holed up somewhere, if he, you know, for some reason couldn't fly there.
I'll talk about who I was thinking of android. I had an android in my free-for-all for a while. It's an interesting choice. I decided to stick with straight humans, but I understand why you took the Vision. He's only reason I think – I don't know whether he's – as far as the movie version of him goes, I don't know whether I'd consider him as much of a resource. I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, he shot that head laser thing that took War Machine out of the sky.
That's true.
So he's got the range. He's got the strength. He's got the speed. He can create little force field things because he was keeping Barton's arrows out of the way.
You chose Fat Martian Manhunter. No, I understand why you picked it. I get it. I don't agree with it, but that's because I'm a biased man. Dawn.
I am going to call it a temporary draw on this because I like both of your logic very much. I think both of you have excellent logic for why you chose those characters, but I need to see the rest of the team before I can really... Because both of these completely make sense. I mean, you've got a hell of a fighter in Beatrix. Although you're kind of you've also got that in River Tam already,
I know.
James. So
I know.
You're getting a little fighter heavy.
We're gonna save that in the end.
Yep, I understand. That's why I'm saying I'm not ready to make a choice on this one. I really love Rob's logic of, you know, he's an android, so therefore if you're talking about a zombie apocalypse that where the zombies are driven by smell, which in most mythologies does seem to sort of be a pervasive thing. Then, you know, having something non-human is a really good idea.
So I am going to withhold judgment on this choice for now.
Ooh.
Fair enough. Brings us down to the free-for-all, which is where things can get completely unbalanced because of how we envisioned the rules for this. So
I think even with the unbalance, my choice is gonna keep a balance. So let's hear yours.
Okay. In joking about this, when we were talking about the categories, you said, so the free-for-all, so this is where we would put Voltron, right? and you decided to say, well, you know, we couldn't even go with Voltron, because technically Voltron is five different individuals, and that's kind of, you know, cheating. I will say I stayed kind of similar.
Oh, no.
I went with Optimus Prime.
Oh, wow.
And the reason I went with Optimus Prime is... he can turn into fucking transport when we need it. We can all climb inside the cab and ride off somewhere. And then when we need to, he can turn into a big motherfucker that stomps on zombies.
All right. That's pretty. That's fucking
right.
Hysterical.
Okay, that's good.
Sorry.
I was not expecting a transformer. That's wonderful. So
Rob's team is very utilitarian.
He is.
It's free-for-all.
So for my free-for-all... if you've noticed, I haven't taken anybody from comic books. And I needed somebody who is going to be the one that holds the group together no matter what. The one with all of the skills. MacGyver, war strategist, someone who's going to know more about everything than I know about anything. I chose Batman. I took Bruce Wayne as my final free-for-all, because I figure there is going for the world's greatest detective version of Batman, not movie version, not shark repellent Batman. This is the one who walks into a room. He has that Sherlock moment of figuring shit out. He knows more about herbs and spices and fighting techniques and weaponry and everything. My thought was, I'm going to go with the guy who knows a little bit about it all. Well, our life will probably suck because he's a curmudgeonly dickhead. But if there's any way we're going to survive, it's going to be because we got Bruce Wayne on our side. There you go.
Is he? That's fine. That makes sense. That makes sense.
So he was my leader. I mean, you got the Matrix of leadership on your side.
Are you sure you want a curmudgeonly old fuck as your leader, though? that's a thing.
You want to know what? In a situation where it's my life or death, I guess I got to deal with the curmudgeon. I'm going to survive.
I am okay. And does that complete the team?
Yeah,
yeah, it's us and four others. So that was the fourth one.
That's right, four others. Okay.
So why don't we recap for the sake of extending this episode longer than 5 more minutes?
Okay.
Okay.
I got.
So Hatton's team consists of James Hatton.
He's the weak link. Then we got River Tam. We got Harry Potter. We have Beatrix Kiddo. And we have Bruce Wayne. Rob?
And Podcast Rob's team consists of Rob, Harry Potter, John Watson, The Vision, and Optimus Prime. It like just reading those names off, it seems so amazingly unfair.
It still makes
Why do
laugh.
You think it's unfair, Rob?
Because I don't. I just get the sense that we looked at the parameters differently.
Okay.
I think we're only coming down to Batman versus Optimus on that. I think it's I'm all right with that. I can accept that. I almost took a Cylon for my free-for-all. That was the android I almost took, but I decided against it.
See, that would have been a good idea. Here's the other reason I went the way I did with the Vision and Optimus. I only have three people on my team that have the potential to get turned into zombies if shit goes bad.
True.
Optimus can't become a zombie. The Vision ain't going to become a zombie if they get bit. So, I mean, they can wade out in front of us for miles and just stomp through shit. And who cares if they get scratched or bit or clawed at? They're not going to turn.
It's an interesting theory. I think perhaps given that as a I guess, an uber strength, if you will, maybe we should consider that the cat, like, if there's the potential that they could be. I understand Vision's probably a real reach, but let's just say they have some sort of Cybertronian zombie affliction as well, for the sake of fuck it all.
Okay.
All right. So all things being equal, then anything, organic or not, can be, anything sentient can be infected. Is that what you're saying?
I think that would, if you feel that there's an unbalance in the force, I would say that's probably the only way to balance it out, is that if somehow other shit can become zombies in this fantastic scenario of ours.
This amazing thing, even metal things, as long as if there is intelligence, it can be corrupted, basically.
In the Marvel Zombies, I believe Galactus got turned too, which is pretty funny.
That is silly.
I have no idea.
Oh, those That's Marvel terrible, Zombie books are though. So silly.
That's good to know. All right, well, boys, we're kind of at a tie. So the question is, can we come up with a last-minute wild card category? Because for movies, I gave it to Rob with the Vision, specifically because of the whole idea, you know, with an android, you sort of have the best of both worlds. You have something that has some level of human logic, some level, or at least potentially teachable human logic and human sentience, but as Rob said, could theoretically move through things. But, you know, because we're still talking about something that wouldn't have a smell, so I'm not... Since we don't know the science behind this particular zombie apocalypse.
And Vision does have, I think, in the comics, he has that phasing ability. I don't know whether he does in the movies, but he definitely does in the comics.
Because remember, he came through the wall when Captain America was talking to Scarlet Witch.
True.
Yeah.
And she was like, you're supposed to use the door.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
So that's why I gave that to Rob. However, for the wild card, I gave it to James for a couple of reasons. Let me explain why. My concern about Optimus Prime there, and you have to forgive me because I have not been up on the Transformers universe since I was a kid. So this may be something that I'm not remembering. But ultimately, you're still talking about creatures that are mechanical in a world with very limited resources.
Fair.
So I'm not sure that... I don't remember what the Transformers require to live and function, but I'm betting we're going to run out of it quick if it involves things like fuel or battery power.
Energon.
One of the other reasons that I gave it to Batman is just basically because of Bruce Wayne. The amount of resources that Bruce Wayne has, including potentially places to hide that are underground, gives his team a pretty big advantage.
He does have that pile of dead zombie Robins, but, you know.
But those might be able to be turned for good. You don't know. So, but like, the simple existence of something like, you know, a house that has a giant functional bat cave underneath it where you could fit a shitload of people, that is a tactical advantage because it is a place that you could safely hole up for a while. There's also the extra weaponry and things like that. So Batman gets the advantage there.
Even Do you have any idea how many zombies you can crush under a giant penny?
Right, that's fine. That's a good point. But what happens when he runs out of juice? Then you're screwed.
Well, that's true, yeah.
So, you know, eventually we are going... The thing about the zombie apocalypse is you don't know how long it's going to last because you always... Exponents are always on the side of the zombies. Always. So, you know, it's potentially going to take a while, even with a giant penny. And I am concerned about, as I said, running out of whatever resource is required to keep a transformer going, because that shit's going to be one of the first things to go. So, but the problem, boys, is that gives us a tie.
Intriguing.
So, what do we do?
So, lightning round, top of the head, Oof. One more free for all to decide it.
So, because. Yeah, because just let me make sure that I'm correct here. I might be wrong.
No,
Hang on.
I think Rob technically wins.
Rob, I do believe you are the winner.
Watson.
I'm sorry, I did that wrong.
Well, okay. If we're going individual piece by piece, then that would be correct. But we also have to look at overall team cohesiveness, so we can factor that in.
Okay.
So if you look at both teams, from the long haul, Don, if you look at both teams, okay.
Team chemistry working with each other, yes, the whole nine yards.
Do you see one surviving longer?
No, because I can see a loss on both, a potential quick loss on both of your sides. So I do think we need a wild card. The problem is I can see something breaking down with reasonable speed on both sides, which is then going to drop you both down to three. You're going to get dropped down to three people. And once we lose that, it's a little harder to judge.
What's even funnier, Rob, is that first major loss is going to be Rob and Jamie.
Yeah. Because the other four are going, how do we lose the fucking dead weight?
Oh, great. We got the greatest. Right. We have the greatest
Vision,
warrior.
We can't get out of this. You'll need to phase through the wall. You'll be all right.
It's very... The funny thing is your teams are different enough that it's kind of difficult. I mean, I think Rob very much has the sort of logic and tactical advantage, particularly with Watson. Watson, to me, is still the best advantage of any of these characters.
James is a far more realistic, however, though, because you might be able to actually go out and find people similar to that in real life. I don't care how far or long and wide I look. I'm not going to find Optimus Prime anywhere.
Sir,
that's fine. That's true. Because, you know, James's advantage is everyone is human. But again, that's also a massive disadvantage in a post-apocalyptic world.
Rob, don't give up the dream. Maybe one day.
Yeah, exactly. In Mark Wahlberg's barn.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll find Optimus Prime.
You got the...
All right, so
the backlot of Universal is going to be completely abandoned. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, there you go. That's true. All right, so if we're each going to have to rapid fire off the top of our head, pick one more wild card. Yep. You've said this a couple times now. I'm sure James has been thinking about one as we've been talking. I've been thinking about one. Dawn, pick one of the two of us, and as soon as you say the name, we have to say who our wild card is.
Oh, shit. Hold on. Give us, okay. I need a minute.
Oh, wait. Apparently James hasn't been thinking this whole time we've been talking.
I've been still imagining Optimus Prime.
The zombies are outside, James. They're outside.
Oh, fuck.
Outside.
All right, real quick, are there any parameters on this free-for-all final character?
Actually, I'm going to throw this at both of you. James, you have to pick somebody who is not human, and Rob, you have to pick someone who is.
Ooh,
that completely wrecks my pick then. Damn it.
Because that's where the imbalance, again, that's where we've got sort of the weird imbalance with these teams. Is, you know, Rob's team at the moment has that big tactical advantage just because of Watson, who is a doctor. Like, again, massive advantage. And also he's got the non-human characters who potentially don't need feeding. You know, they're not other than Optimus Prime, who might need electricity and gasoline. There's no resource suck.
That's true.
Everybody on James's side needs cheeseburgers.
And okay, so Dawn, pick a name.
James.
T-1000. Just
Rob.
Saying.
Luke Skywalker.
I was thinking the same thing. I love you, Rob.
Fuck you, because I was going to say a Terminator 2, goddammit. Now, why is your rationale for the Terminator? Because if it's the same as mine, I'm just disconnecting this call altogether.
Number one, if I remember correctly, they recharge themselves. They're highly intelligent. They have that entire fucking Wikipedia in their brain. They're amazing shots. They're unstoppable. They look like humans, so they're easy decoys. And if not for nothing, the first thing the motherfucker says in T2 is, "Come with me if you want to live."
All right. That's very fair. Rob, what's your logic?
Well, my logic for why I was going to pick the Terminator was because he's from the future. And if he's in the future, then obviously there's stuff that's still around.
Touché.
Something survived. Okay.
That was what I was going to go with.
I like it.
Luke Skywalker, he's got a lightsaber. He uses the Force. He can push them away from us if we need to. He can drop walls on top of them. And the lightsaber, I'm pretty sure you're not just going to have to worry about, you know, double tapping the head with a lightsaber.
True. All right. Here is my decision. And I'm conflicted, but this is still my decision. I'm going to give overall survivability to James with the inclusion of the T-1000. Yeah. Without it, it's all Rob.
Dun, dun, dun.
Fair enough.
The T-1000 put you over the top, James.
Fantastic. But
if you didn't have that, Rob wins hands down. I do question Luke Skywalker because while he does have all of those terrific and important powers, he is also just filled with angst and depression and existential concerns. And I fear that would really become a problem eventually.
I don't want to fight zombies. I want to go to Takashi Station because of power converters.
Well, you know what? And you're probably right because he has, you know, taken himself out of basically humanity and has existed on this tiny little island off by himself somewhere. But I think what we're going to see in episode 8 is that once he gets dragged into the fight and he sees that there are innocents that are in trouble and that will need help, he will do what Mr. Skywalker does. And help save the day. So while you're correct, he probably does have that depression. If he sees four people trapped on a rooftop surrounded by zombies because they're not Optimus Prime or the Vision, and he happens to have a good hand to grab a lightsaber with, I don't think he just sits there and goes, sorry, can't do anything for you. Got nothing.
No, you're right. You are right. But the T-1000 was just enough of an advantage that it put James over the top.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, yep.
Rob, I do love how similar, like, the fact that, once again, you and I have proven why we are friends and how this show happens.
Oh, it's hysterical. I immediately, like, I started looking at The Walking Dead, and I'm like, what are things that they need? They need food, they need shelter, they need transport. Okay, so Optimus Prime can take care of transport and shelter. Between him and the Vision, that's that much less food we need. And then it just started becoming, I need a medic, I need somebody with some mystical range shit who can launch off lightning bolts and fireballs. I love that we both kind of considered Raceland at one point, and I still like that we both landed on Harry Potter. That was hilarious.
I knew River Tam was my weak link. I wish I could have come up with a, and I sat there and I was like, you know, I could probably go with Colossus as just sort of the tank, but I felt weird going with an X-Men from the cartoons, but now hearing yours, I definitely could have. But I
was thinking Colossus too, because if he goes all metal skin, he's not getting bit. That was the whole thing I was looking for the survivability on it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Dawn, do you have, who would you, I mean, you've heard now our choices. Have you pondered who you might put together for your team?
These are very, like, off the top of my head choices, basically, because I had pretty much the length of this podcast to think about it. And I'm still very, very conflicted in my TV choice. I wrote down two people, and I'm still kind of on the fence for various reasons. My TV choices would be either Red Reddington or Dean Winchester.
Of course it would be.
Obviously. Hey, look, if I've got to repopulate the Earth, I'm just saying. If I can help with that. And he is, in the mythology of his own show, he is the single best hunter in that world. So, you know, massive weapons knowledge, very good lore knowledge as far as like a little bit of a mystical thing goes, is a fucking dead shot, and super hot. So that, I must admit, was a thought. Red Reddington, also a dead shot, highly, highly intelligent, has shown some medical knowledge, not a ton, but certainly has some medical knowledge. And also the idea of, you know, as a resource for places to go and places to hide. How many places does he have to live? Like fucking 40? I mean, it seems like every season we find three more of Red's houses.
I am going to play judge on this one for you, Dawn. As much as I love me some Red Reddington, he, to me, seems much more of a character where his strength is leveraging other people to do his work for him.
Okay.
And in a zombie team like this, he's going to have to do a whole lot more of his own dirty work. A lot of his blacklist stuff is calling in favors and putting the leverage on other people. So I would have to go with your Winchester boy there.
You go with my boyfriend on that one. Nice.
Yeah, I would have to.
That's fine. My TV boyfriend wins. From literature, I also went the mystical route, much as you guys did, but I actually went with Granny Weatherwax from the Discworld series.
Which one's Granny? I've only read a handful of the.
She's the number one witch in the Discworld. She's kind of the one who's in charge of everything. Does not need many particular implements for her spell work. Is crazy intelligent, very very charismatic, and has a terrific knack for getting shit done. And I think you absolutely have to have a team member like that. Somebody who just will slap the fuck out of everybody else when they need it because shit has to get done. And the fact that she can use magic on top of that, bonus. So that is why I went with Granny Weatherwax.
Fair.
From movie, I went with John McClane from Die Hard. I wanted more power on my side.
That's a good one.
Nice. Yeah.
He fights wounded and fights hard while wounded. Big advantage. Great advantage.
Come out to
and you can't have too many people who are good with guns. You can't.
We'll have a good time.
So that's why I went with John McClane. And my free-for-all, I went all the way, boys. I'm going with death.
Which death? Say it, like Gaiman death?
Yeah, I think I would pick her.
Funny if I'm wearing my death shirt, of all things. Funny that.
See? Well, I almost picked another Gaiman character. I almost picked Shadow from American Gods for my literature choice, and then I thought of Granny Weatherwax. But I think if the shit is going down, and it is very, very possible that humanity is over, having the personification of death on your side when you're fighting the undead would be a tremendous advantage.
It's an interesting choice. I never considered the mythological ramifications that could have gone into this.
Yeah, I think death would be a great choice because I think that she would have, well, really any, I think any personification of death would have more insight into the undead because they're kind of cheating them.
Right, of course.
And I think that therefore they would have particular insights that nobody else would have. But also, if it really is time to shut the lights out on the world, I want the one who's going to do it on my side.
She'll make
that's a good point.
Yeah, she'll make it nice for you. The only thing I'd wonder about with death is whether she'd actually help you, whether any of the incarnations would help you. Now, she might, given that this, assuming that a zombification thing is an affront to her job.
That's my guess.
Yeah. Because I don't think Lucifer ain't got shit on you.
Yeah.
Oh, Preacher would have been a good one, too. Anyway.
Preacher would have been a good one. Yeah.
My only concern about death is that it's like, I think you would be on her team until all the zombies are gone. Because I can see her seeing it as an affront, and I can almost see the zombies somehow, like, in their animalistic reactionary lizard brain that's still not functioning, like, you know, shambling towards you and then seeing her and being like, like, that's the one we pissed off. We're not supposed to be here because she was supposed to take us and she didn't. Let's get out of here. But once all the zombies are gone, she's like, okay, so, just you guys left, huh? Right. Let's get down to brass tacks. Then you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, basically. So there is that, but I'm not really thinking, you know, I'm not really thinking past the apocalypse at this point. Sure. I just want to survive.
I'm kind of surprised that none of us in any way went with any of the doctors.
I thought about it, but...
We all did.
God
damn it.
I almost felt like it defeated the game.
I also felt that there's, even though the doctor loves Earth, in this situation, the doctor would choose to not be there.
Well, I like the cheating the game aspect, because it's really the TARDIS. Once you get the TARDIS involved, basically all bets are off.
Yeah.
But let's say that the TARDIS wasn't even there. In my mind, regardless of which doctor I went with, none of the doctors, and I love me some current Doctor Who, none of the doctors are this needs to get done, do it, kind of person. Yeah. It's a to get done. We're going to talk about it, or almost like Sherlockian in a, you know, I can't believe you guys can't figure this out for yourself. What's the one thing that we need? We need you to fucking help us with the fucking zombies right now is what we need.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
Yeah, like Martha. Martha is almost the better choice when it comes to Doctor.
Yeah. Because Eccleston and Tennant would be too kind of, I almost want to say preachy about it.
And again, with the existential crisis for both of them.
Yeah.
Nobody is allowed to have an
Smith would just be too flippant because it would be like an 11-year-old. Oh my God, look, that's a zombie. Oh, hey, that's a different kind of zombie. That one's missing his jaw. Isn't that interesting? Fucking help!
And I think River would be a terrific advantage from that universe.
River, well...
Well, when Rob has to repopulate the Earth, he has to take River into consideration.
Yes, I would want River on my team anyway, now that you mention it.
I'll take a pond for that one.
You'll take a pond?
You can go right ahead. It's crushing for me to say that she's a redhead and she's attractive, and it was just like, nah, pass.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow. Having known you for as long as I have, Rob, for, you know, 26 years now.
Yes.
Wow.
The needle just got dragged across the record of Dawn's brain when I said that.
It really did.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that was fuck me. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, wow.
All right. So, James, I defer to the superior zombie survival team.
Only by the breath of a very, very sweaty Austrian. So
yes, by the wild card, he got it. Because like I said, Rob, without that wild card, it was all you.
When this episode goes up, which will be November 1st, this episode's going to go up.
Yeah.
I'm also going to put up a Twitter poll with this for James' team and Rob's team to let the listeners go through and make their own decision.
Oh, I love
just
it.
Just okay. So you can see what the listeners' mindsets are on it.
Terrific. Love it.
So why don't, Ms. Dawn, why don't you tell everybody about where they can find you and your shows and all of your wonderful fandoms and all that wackiness?
You can find me on Twitter at Pie and Shotguns. That's myself and my friend Jamie, who will be doing the Supernatural recaps. I completed season 12, episode 1 recap was handed in to the lovely ladies who are in charge of Head Over Feels this evening. So hopefully it will be up within the next day or two. And then we have some random other fandom ideas that we're going to be talking about, but mostly we're going to be working on Supernatural. That's pretty much what we got going on so far.
So
I will say, Dawn, I did take a look at your Twitter handle, and you, whoever did your profile pic, outstanding.
That would be Jamie. She did the profile. She did the profile pic. She did the banner at the top. That is all her.
Very nice.
So let me ask.
She did a beautiful job.
Let me ask you, Dawn, since we got Supernatural on the brain, and yesterday was Halloween for all the listeners. I was talking with a friend of mine who is a huge Supernatural fan, and I had stopped watching probably right after two seasons after maybe the Leviathans, so I'm a bit back. They were saying that the show sort of took a dip, and then now they're getting into where Sam and Dean are now perhaps healing and realizing that maybe the whole cycle of I'm not going to tell him because that would ruin, and then I'm not going to tell him this, and I'm going to lie to him about this, and this is the regular thing that went on for the first 8 seasons, so that they're starting to heal up and starting to maybe try being honest with each other and fix their personal issues, and the show is back on the upswing. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think that there were some. I think we had a slow couple of seasons. I actually enjoyed the Leviathan season.
I didn't mind it.
As a setup. Because the repercussions of purgatory that came about in the next season in the overarching mythos were huge. So the purgatory season was, I think, more for the super fans because it fed so much into the ultimate mythos of the show. Season 10 started off not terrific and then started really going well, with some amazing episodes, including some terrifically funny ones. Season 11 was fantastic.
Okay, and that was last season?
Complex as hell. when I did the recap for Supernatural, pardon me, for Head Over Feels, to sum up season 11, I summed up the first half of the season in like maybe a page and a half. And it was another almost 4 pages to explain the second half of the season because it was incredibly complicated and well worth watching. First episode of season 12, some of the best writing I've ever seen on that show. It was a solid episode of really, really tight, tense action, beautifully done. So I definitely recommend just read some sum ups of a couple of those seasons in the middle, pick up halfway through season 10 and give it another shot.
All right, fair enough.
I have to say, Dawn, I do not watch Supernatural, but I followed your live tweet along, and not knowing anything about the show, your live tweet was still entertaining as fuck. It's kind of like how I don't really watch wrestling anymore, but I will follow along when Hat and some of other followers live tweet wrestling because I create my own movie in my head as to what's going on because of the way that they're tweeting, and it was still fairly good. And you weren't the only person who was tweeting out about Supernatural that the writing on that first episode of season 12 was ridiculously phenomenal.
Yeah, it was excellent. A brand new showrunner, brand new head writer. He is somebody who has been with the show since I believe the beginning. But now he's in charge and I'm thrilled because he did an amazing job. We are going to try to live tweet every episode. First run episode anyway. Cuz I had a tremendous amount of fun doing that. So I want to keep trying to do that.
And just so people who may be on the fringe or who haven't watched in a while, when is Supernatural on so they can catch you on the live tweet?
Supernatural is on Thursday. They changed it. So it's now Thursdays at 9.
Okay. Thursdays 9 Eastern. So yes, follow at Pie and Shotguns on Twitter. Stay up to date on all of your Supernatural fandom stuff and check out the live tweet on Thursday when they do it.
Yep. And thank you guys so much for letting me be a part of your podcast, which I love.
Aww. Oh, thank you so much, Dawn. It was so awesome to have you on once again. Hopefully next time it won't be so long in between episodes that we get you on here.
Yeah, whenever you need me, I'm happy to be here for you.
Sounds great.
Rob, is there anything you want to promote, hit on, talk about?
I'll just hit up our Patreon again, patreon.com/somethingsomethingcast. We still have more space episodes to go and we're working on the new one now. So check us out, get some exclusive stuff, help support the show.
Fantastic. And I will once again mention reallyshameless.com, which is my vinyl, my small little vinyl business. And there is a coupon. You get $1 off if you use coupon code STSTCast.
There you go. One way or another, by the time you are listening to this episode, we will have some sort of t-shirt stuff up and running where you can purchase t-shirts from the website. We're still hashing out the domain and where we're going to get those from, but we will have it within moments of people listening to this episode.
Yes, by the time you are listening to this, we should have figured a bunch of stuff out because we've been babbling about it for the last week in your time.
Yes.
All right. Then I guess that's all we got for this show. Once again, I want to thank everybody. Thank you, Dawn. And I guess I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
And who are you?
I'm Dawn Burchick. Sorry, it wasn't working.
And
we will see you guys later.
Later. She's going to wait until we're done recording so she can turn the camera on so we can watch her eat this giant messy burger.
That's somebody's fetish.
I was just going to say, it's $11 a month somewhere to watch that.